Good evening. If you would please turn to our first verse that we'll be reading, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The theme of this Devo, I changed it a couple times, but I finally stuck to one. We're going to look at two verses, and then we're going to kind of draw some points that I don't think are as obvious. Do I need to put the mic on?
Keep talking.
Okay. So let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I was curious about that verse. I wanted to know more about the hidden meaning. So I looked in the Greek, and the word walk is the word peripateo or peripateo. And one of the definitions is to make due use of opportunities. So let's keep that in mind as we go to another verse. We'll go to Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. And that verse says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So that word walk there is the same word, meaning to make due use of opportunities. So the application that I wanted to draw from these two verses, I just thought it was interesting. That's the same word. And I wanted to look at it from a different perspective. Everyone knows, everyone's heard these verses, to walk circumspectly and to the first one. I already forgot. Sorry, not much of a preacher. 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I wanted to kind of just take a different spin on it, because that's what when I read the Bible and I'm studying, I like to look at the Greek first and then kind of consider different possible applications for these scriptures that we read all the time but we don't consider. So, like I said, the theme of this lesson is just let's walk circumspectly, but let's do it in ways that aren't obvious. So let's just, deeper thinking essentially is the point. So we need to consider our every thought, every work, and every word more closely. And we need to have a more spiritual mindset for the trivial and the daily activities that we don't necessarily think about every day. So the first point I wanted to make was that we need to consider in more detail our thoughts. And obviously we need to subject our thoughts to the will of God. And that's something that I think we need to be reminded of pretty frequently, because I catch myself a lot throughout the day, halfway through the day, you know, especially if it's a work day, I'm just going through, but I'm working, but I'm not really considering things spiritually. So like today, for example, I told Mike this the other day. He was like, well, you know, what's a normal work day and set and stuff like that? Well, I told him, you know, I have a schedule. I got to be on to certain appointments on time, to install, repair, security, equipment. But sometimes stuff, you go there to fix something, but there's 20 more things that you got to fix that weren't on the work order. So, you know, it's just time consuming. And that was today. And halfway through today, I caught myself getting upset because things weren't going as planned. I was trying to get this job done so I can go to the next job and get that done so I can go home and prepare for this lesson more. But I caught myself and I was like, man, why am I'm upset? And then so I just started singing a song. I think I started singing, I'm happy today. Oh, yes, I'm happy today. I started singing it because I was like, you know, I caught myself doing something, not thinking the way that I should be, which is just a trivial thing, but that's application right there. Galatians 5:16, like we already read, that word walk means to make use of opportunities, and the application here is to make use of our opportunities to do good works. So this is in relation to thoughts, we need to be joyful when we are given opportunities to do good things, to do good works. That's another application. And these are just some examples that I could think of. There's an endless amount of practical applications to this. Let's see. We need to consider our own personal attitudes when certain situations come up. And we need to examine ourselves like I caught myself doing today. A lot of issues with our thoughts arise from a bad attitude and misplaced priorities. Like earlier today, my priorities were to get home. But I was just upset. It was going to ruin my day, but I Luckily, I caught myself, and I just started singing. That's how I do it. Everyone's different. I just sing songs in my head, and it helps. So let's subject our every thought to the will of God, and it's got to be a conscientious effort. It's not something that just happens. Second point is works. So we need to be more careful. This is kind of the thoughts, that example that I gave kind of rolls right into this one. When we do nice things for others, when we do good works, we need to be glad, because not only was someone blessed by the thing that we did, but we are being blessed by God because we are doing His will. So I just think that it's a mindset that we need to have about doing works that, you know, it's a win-win situation for everybody. I'm doing this because this person benefits, I benefit, my mood is uplifted, God is pleased, everyone. There's nothing bad about doing good works. It may, you know, and that's the thing about adolescence, you know, you think, oh, I got to go, my dad's making me mow the neighbor's yard. Like, this is another example. My dad made me mow the neighbor's yard. And I was like, why? You know, it was an old lady. She couldn't do anything. But it's something that I respect now. But as a kid, I didn't have that mindset where I was appreciative of the fact that I'm doing something good for someone who can't do the good for themselves in that way. So let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse number 2. Romans 15:2. It says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So this is just another way I wanted to consider good works, is that when we do good works, it could, I'm not saying it always does, but it can lead to edification. So, you know, later on in my teen years, when I was still mowing the neighbor's yard, and there was a different family that moved in, you know, they would bring over water after I mowed the lawn and be like, oh, thank you. They were a Hispanic family. They couldn't really speak English, but they were like, thank you for mowing our yard. Here's a bottle of water. And unfortunately, I could have, you know, struck up a conversation, but I'm not a very, and this is a fault, I'm not a very, what's the word? Personable person with strangers. I wanted to help them out, and no one asked me to do it, but it was something that I've been doing. It was just a habit, and I was like, oh, I'm going to mow their yard, even though it's 103 degrees outside. But I did that, and you know, these opportunities that when you do nice things, you can, these can be catapults to evangelism. You can evangelize not only from the work itself, but it can lead to just evangelism in many different ways. So if we are not in a position where we can bless others through our works, such as little children or elderly people, if you just don't have opportunities, like, you know, when I was in college, I didn't have a lot of opportunities because I was either at school or I was at home. But there's always, and I was just thinking about that, well, what if you can't? Well, for children, and this is just one example, you know, you keep your room clean without having to be told to, wash your dishes, wash someone else's dishes. Obey your parents, essentially, which is Ephesians 6, verse 1. And another verse I wanted to look at, this is the final one for works. We'll look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. This one I thought was really interesting. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And then that's really the main point. And then it goes into a list of the works of the flesh. But I considered that our actions, if they're bad, they're evident. The works of the flesh are evident. But also the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, they are evident as well. You know, you'll know them by their fruit and stuff like that. So I just think that that's another point, that we can just consider that everything I do is evident to those who are not around, who are around me, whether they're looking or not, you know, by word of mouth, stuff like that. So just being good overall can lead to evangelism, and it's evident to not only other people, but to God. And our final, or almost final point, words, we need to be more careful about the things we say. Now, I didn't want to go be obvious, so I kind of went into a little bit of, I just picked an area of thought that no one thinks about when we think of, I need to watch what I say. And it's something that I've seen, I used to do, and I was bad at. And it's when people share or post things on social media, whether it be Facebook, I don't know, all of them, there's thousands of them. what we share and post online, let's consider whether or not we are more diligent in trying to convert people to the right politically over converting people spiritually. So I just think that it's something that I used to struggle when I was in high school. I was really into politics. I'm not anymore. I hate it. I despise it. but it's something that I've seen some people do. I think they get so riled up in politics of the world, of our country, that they just lose focus of what's really important. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't share anything, but I'm just saying, like, let's, if you get more upset when you see a post or something said by Bernie Sanders than you do when someone's sharing false doctrine, then I think that's a mindset that we need to change, because it's a worldly mindset. I think if we're more focused on something that really doesn't affect our salvation at all, we just need to check our priorities, essentially. My final point is, who are we friends with? Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. And that says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And from this, I was looking at the word in the Greek, the word world, which is cosmos or cosmos. That word, one of the definitions is, which I think is more applicable, which is just a way, like I said, it's just a different way of looking at something. That word world means the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. So if we read that verse again, but we plug in that definition for world, it kind of changes the way we look at it. And next we'll look at just kind of like a sister verse here. We'll look at Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." So I think that it's important that we now, like I said, this is probably more, I don't know, I'm a young man. I'm not wise, but I have a brain and I have the Bible, so I can connect some dots. But I think it's important that we put value on the values of our friends. So if I have friends that all they care about is Fortnite or the Cowboys or beer, for college kids and high school kids, I guess, dumb kids everywhere. But I don't necessarily, one thing, me being not a very, I'm a pretty introverted person. And so I consider this a blessing in some ways, but also it's a hindrance for evangelism in other ways. I don't really talk to many people, especially in college. I had like two friends. I'm not even joking. I had two friends, and we would just study and do everything together. And they were good people, and we talked about the Bible. But a problem that I see with other people, especially those extroverted people, is that, I mean, I'm not saying it's bad to be friendly, but it's who you cling to. We need to abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. If all our friends are talking about, they're drinking, you know, they're just bad examples. They corrupt good morals. So I think it's just a different way of thinking of friends is, do we associate ourselves with those who do not hold the will of God in high regard? So, let's just consider who we are not associates with. You can be associates with just about anyone, because you can't convert unless you talk to, heathens, essentially. But let's not get overwhelmed and not, I don't know how else to put it, let's just be smart about it. So the last verse we're going to look at is 2 Peter 3:14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And that says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless." That word peace is irene. And one of the definitions for that is, which I think is extremely applicable, it's just a different way of looking at it, which is why I love looking at the Greek and the Hebrew words. That word peace means the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. So just reading that definition, just it puts more thoughts in my mind of, oh, I'm, you know, connecting all these dots of scripture and applicable thoughts. I don't know. So that's really my final point, is let's just stay diligent so that we can have that kind of peace where we're assured of our salvation. So we just got to stay diligent and keep praying for one another. So that's all for my lesson. So if anyone here is not a member of the Church of Christ, please feel free to talk to even me. I may not have the best, you know, a silver tongue or anything, but I'll be real with you. And I'll try to do what I can. And if you are a member of the Church of Christ and you've noticed some things are lacking, you're not walking circumspectly, then please feel free to come forward as we stand and as we sing the invitation.